This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What the?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagal. Sorry, but this bank situation just keeps getting more perplexing. This morning, the government said it's giving Bank of America another $20 billion. And here's why. Last fall, the feds encouraged B of A to buy Merrill Lynch. Bank of America was doing just fine at the time. Now, it's not. Today, B of A reported its first quarterly loss in 17 years and cut its dividend to just one penny. More now from Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Bank of America CEO Ken Lewis says most of the problem lies with Merrill Lynch's fourth quarter loss of more than $15 billion. The acquisition of Merrill came not long after B of A acquired the troubled mortgage lender Countrywide. Lewis defended the moves in a conference call this morning.
Our acquisitions of both Countrywide and Merrill Lynch were directed at strengthening the franchise, but also contributed to marketplace stability.
Still, Christopher Whalen of Institutional Risk Analytics says Lewis may be having second thoughts about those deals today.
If Ken Lewis had somehow held back and not bought Countrywide and not agreed to this Merrill Lynch deal, he'd be sitting pretty. BA would be the most solid, stable of the three largest banks.
Bank of America's stock is up this morning off of its lowest level in almost two decades. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
But it's not like the other big banks are doing any better than B of A. This morning, Citigroup reported its fifth straight quarterly loss, $8 billion. But Citi also said it will be splitting into two banks. One will be your friendly bank down the street. The other will be a storage tank for toxic assets. The Dow is up 106 points in the early going to 8318. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 have some gains so far. In Japan, the Nikkei closed 2.5% higher, and European shares are up about 2%. The price of oil dropped to $35 a barrel this morning, almost as low as it's been in several years. But gas prices haven't been dropping. In fact, they're back to $2 a gallon. And here's an explanation of why from Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
AAA says the average price of a gallon of gas is almost $2, 17 cents more than a month ago. Philip Verleger is an oil economist at the University of Calgary. He says the main factor in this price jump is refiners have cut supply, allowing them to charge gas stations higher wholesale prices.
Margins have gone back up towards a more normal level of, say, 40 cents a gallon or so. And that's where we are right now.
Refiners' profits had gotten as low as 6 cents a gallon in the second half of last year as gas prices tanked.
It's essential that the people who make the petroleum products earn a rate of return on their capital. Otherwise, they're going to go bankrupt and they're going to close.
One refiner, Lyondell, did declare bankruptcy last week. The price jump at the corner gas station could be temporary. If crude oil prices stay below $40 a barrel, AAA predicts gas could hit an average of $1.55 a gallon in coming weeks. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
I might get in the car and drive to Penn State. There's a creamery on the campus, and it's pretty well known in those parts. It's come up with three new ice cream flavors for next week's inauguration. The ice cream will be served at the inaugural ball. Let's see, there's Baraki Road and Biden Berry and Obama White House, which is vanilla with maraschino cherries. This is the Morning Report for Friday, January 16th on Marketplace.org. Barack Obama is in Ohio today. He'll be talking up the alternative energy plans that are in his stimulus package. Obama might get some feedback from small business people, because as a group, they want to make sure they get some of the stimulus. After all, half the country's jobs are on their payrolls. Mitchell Hartman has more from our entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting.
What small business lobbyists usually tell lawmakers is some variation on cut taxes, trim the deficit, and stay off our backs. We don't expect to hear them telling the government to spend, spend, spend. But things are different now.
We're certainly pushing for some type of stimulus that would help small business owners, because as you know, no one's spending money.
That's Susan Eckerly of the National Federation of Independent Business.
Our members aren't replacing inventory, they're not hiring new workers, they're not planning to make capital expenditures. So we're looking for ways to, you know, stimulate sales.
First order of business, a few hundred billion for fixing roads and bridges, making government buildings more energy efficient, and the like. That's considered a good deal since a lot of the work will be done by small local contractors. A temporary payroll tax cut, basically suspending Social Security taxes for employers and employees, is on the agenda, as well as new deductions for business investment and health insurance for the self-employed. And there's broad support for a lot more Small Business Administration lending. Todd McCracken is president of the National Small Business Association. His group wants 25% of any future bailout money for banks under the Troubled Assets Relief Program, or TARP, to target small business lending.
We think that if the federal government is shoveling out huge sums of money to shore up the banks, they need to make sure those banks are making loans where they're most needed, putting the money back out the door to small businesses and consumers. In addition, they need to be buying up some of these guaranteed SBA Small Business Administration loans.
And regardless of how much more is spent on SBA loans and infrastructure, there's one simple action that would deliver stimulus right where it needs to go, says Chris Gunn of the American Small Business League.
And that's actually just stopping the diversion of small business contracts to large corporations, providing more oversight within the federal government, supplementing the SBA with an increased budget and increasing their staffing.
By law, 23% of federal contracts are supposed to go to small businesses. Gunn says multiple government and independent investigations have found that around half that work is actually going to big companies instead through fraud, loopholes, and inadequate oversight. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This weekend starts Restaurant Week in New York City. It's a big promotion where people can enjoy three-course meals at bargain prices. But can restaurants really afford to do that this year? Sally Herships checks out the cuisine scene.
Jean-Georges Van Gerichten is a French chef who owns restaurants around New York City. He says he's noticed customers cutting back.
In terms of spending, it's much less.
Less wine, less lobster, less caviar. But Jean-Georges is focused on more for less. He says Restaurant Week prices in the past were so successful, he's kept them year-round. Dorothy Hamilton founded the French Culinary Institute in Soho. She says Restaurant Week isn't enough to save some restaurants, but there may be an upside to the downturn.
I called Zagat a few weeks ago to see how many new restaurants will be opening in the city in the next 6 months, and they predict 100 new restaurants will open.
Hamilton says as New York City's crazy real estate prices start dropping, there'll finally be room for newcomers. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
By the end of the weekend, we'll know who's in the Super Bowl. We already know most of the companies that'll be in the game.
A lot of people are like, aren't you too young to invest in the markets? And, you know, A, don't worry about it. You know, I just look young. I mean, you don't know how old I am. And B, I use E-Trade, so check it. Click. I just bought stock. You just saw me buy stock.
Super Bowl ads might be a little different this year, considering the economy. Let's talk to our Business of Sports commentator, Diana Nyad. Well, Diana, what can we expect to see?
I think there might be a little difference in timber. You know, there are going to be some companies who are very sensitive to the fact that the American public at large has been going through heavy hits in their home lives. You know, Coca-Cola, for instance, is mounting an entire campaign this year that's called Open Happiness, meaning when you pop that can open, you know, let a little comfort into your life. There are a few companies, the biggest heavy hitter I can think of is FedEx, who's just going to stay out of the game altogether. Doesn't mean that they don't have the money, that they don't think it's a great investment, but FedEx has literally been asking their employees to take pay cuts and laying off people, and they just felt PR-wise they couldn't do it this year.
You know, Diana, every year there seems to be some kind of novelty among the ads, like last year the talking infant for E-Trade.
Yes, yes.
What is it this year?
Well, you know, the studios, the movie studios, have been using the Super Bowl for a long time. But the real creative one, I think, this year is DreamWorks. Their animated division is coming out with a film called Monsters and Aliens. And so they are going to put out, with Intel, 125 million pair of 3D glasses in all kinds of retail stores. And they are going to run, at the end of the second quarter, a 30-second spot where you've got to use your 3D glasses to see the monsters and aliens. And then right after that, they've gone in conjunction with Sobe Life Water. If you remember the Sobe Lizards, last year they did that sexy dance with Naomi Campbell. Well, they have a 30-second spot that comes right on the heels of that. So it's sort of like DreamWorks, Pepsi, Sobe Life Water, Intel, and NBC have all gone together to pay for that 90 seconds.
Are there any spots left that haven't been sold?
Supposedly, as of this morning, there are still 8 30-second spots. And what's interesting, if we had been doing this interview on Labor Day, I would have said, well, there are still 8 30-second spots available. So they did a good job, NBC did, in doing all those sales in the first part of the year, not knowing that the crisis was coming. But they really have virtually sold none more than they had sold before Labor Day. So there are still 8 available, and I bet they're going at a discount at this point.
Yeah, what, $2.5 million?
Well, no, not that cheap. They're at $3 million, but they might go at 2.8.
All right. Diana Nyad, our Business of Sports commentator. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.